So thank you again. Our second panel is going to focus on, so you kind of heard about, all right, what happens to a state or a region when you attract new talent and you bring in these thousands of jobs, and how does that impact your community? Well, Washington State, back in 2004, knowing that they needed to deal with the silver tsunami and the aging workforce and the skills gap that would come because of that, decided to embrace the concept of centers of excellence. And this was brought about by a Harvard study about that time, talking about clusters and sectors. And so with that, Washington State developed 10 centers of excellence. So this panel, I'm a center of excellence for aerospace. We've got two other centers of excellence. We're going to talk about what does that look like then to retain your workforce. So we have some real heavy hitters in Washington State. For aerospace, we've got Boeing, we've got the energy, we've got Microsoft, Amazon, Starbucks, Expedia. And I witnessed firsthand with the aerospace industry, many of the states are trying to woo our workforce and our suppliers. So how, as a state, do you retain then that workforce? So that's what we're going to kind of talk about. So with me, I have Barbara Hintz-Turner, who's the executive director for the Center of Excellence for Clean Energy. Barbara was appointed to the Washington State Community and Technical College System as the executive director of the Center of Excellence for Clean Energy at Centralia College in 2005. Previously, she was employed by the Portland General Electric Enron as a corporate university director and apprenticeship coordinator. Barbara serves on the board of directors for the Corporation of a Skilled Workforce, Joint Center for Deployment and Research in Earth Abundant Materials, and she was appointed this position by our Washington Governor, Jay Inslee. She's also on the NSF CyberWatch West Visiting Committee and is the chair of the IEEE Power and Energy Society for Community College Outreach Committee. Barbara is the principal investigator for the Washington Integrated Sector Employment, known as WISE, which is a $10 million U.S. Department of Labor TACT Round 4 grant, and serves on the steering committee for National Science Foundation clean energy grants awarded to Bellingham Technical College, South Seattle College, and Shoreline Community College in Washington State. In her spare time, if she has any, she is a doting grandmother to her four grandchildren, and Barbara kind of, we love to talk about our grand loves. Shana Peshek is the director for the Center of Excellence for Construction. And as the director for the Construction Center of Excellence, Shana links industry to the community college system in Washington State for the purpose of coordinating education and training efforts to build a competitive workforce in a global economy. Shana is also a national chair for the United States Green Building Council Community Green Program. She is a board of trustee for the Associated General Contractors, is on the National Task Force for Tradeswomen Issues. When she's not working, she enjoys hiking, backpacking, and mountain biking with her husband and her three teenage sons. And Shana told me she felt, as the mother of three, that equals pretty much a saint. I might agree with that. Next, we have Todd Currier, who is the Assistant Director of Washington State University Energy Program with over three decades of experience in energy efficiency program development, implementation, and evaluation. He leads staff members who are engaged in building science research, industrial energy efficiency, renewable energy programs, and tracking emerging technologies across efficiency sectors. One of his current roles is co-director of the Northwest Regional Manufacturing Center of the nation's Clean Energy and Smart Manufacturing Innovation Institute. And if you remember, this is one of seven of those innovation centers for manufacturing that was under President President Obama's administration. He holds a BA from Indiana University, a master's degree from the University of Washington, and a law degree from the University of Puget Sound School of Law. And I'd sure like to be at your house during the Apple Cup. That's the rival between UW and WSU. Next is J.P. Legueur. J.P. is a senior client executive for academia and research in North America with Dassault Systèmes, the 3D experience company that provides end-to-end software, content, and services designed to support companies' innovation processes. In his role, he manages activities and relationships with academic institutions across North America to transform engineering education. He also works with Dassault Systèmes commercial customers to orchestrate and execute outreach programs focusing on STEM. He has more than 20 years of experience in sales, engineering, and project execution. He joined Dassault Systèmes in 1996 in Tokyo, Japan, as a sales domain lead for the manufacturing solutions, working with aerospace suppliers, automotive manufacturers, and suppliers. He then transferred to California in the same capacity for North America. Born in France, he holds a master's degree in electrical engineering from the Polytech Group. JP is involved in various activities to encourage youth to embrace careers in STEM. He has been serving as a judge for engineering competitions and senior design projects. He has been serving as a mentor for the first robotics competition in Boyle Heights, just outside of Los Angeles, California, volunteering his time with the I Am Angel. He actually says, Mary Kay, I am an angel. But the I Am Angel Foundation to transform lives in underserved communities. And this is working with, if you Google it, the lead from the Black Eyed Peas. And it's because JP gave me his name, but he grew up in this area and he felt it was really important that he now give back to his community. So JP is a part of that. So please help me welcome our very esteemed panel. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Centers of Excellence in Washington State. There are 10 community colleges through an RFI process that were selected to host the Centers of Excellence. So while we are at a community college, we're actually a liaison for all 34 community and technical colleges to engage our industry partners. So it's all about engagement and employer engagement. And you heard earlier on this panel how very important that is. So we're a one-stop shop for industry to connect with our 34 community and technical colleges so that they don't have to go out and individually connect with them. Each center focuses then on one of our industry sectors that drives our state's economy. So you'll see in this next slide here, these are the 10 centers of excellence. So aerospace and advanced materials manufacturing, which is my center of excellence, is hosted at Everett Community College. We're at Boeing, and a huge supply chain sit in our backyard, but Boeing is throughout the state. We have the Agriculture Center of Excellence, which is in Walla Walla. Allied Health, which is at Yakima Technical College, Careers in Education, which is at Green River, Clean Energy, which you'll hear from Barbara, is at Centralia, Construction, which is Shana, is at the Renton Technical College. We have Global Trade and Supply Chain Management, which is hosted at Highline Community College. Homeland Security and Emergency Management is at the Pierce Colleges. Information and Computing Technology is at Bellevue College again. Sitting in the backyard is Microsoft. And then the Marine Manufacturing and Technology is at Skagit Valley Community College. So again, they're hosted at those community colleges, but they represent all 34. And our tagline is we convene, problem solve, and disseminate. So we are about disseminating the information that we learn. So each year, each Center of Excellence files a work plan through our State Board for Community and Technical Colleges based on the objectives to help develop economic vitality or looking at our industry sector. So again, it's not about just attracting your new businesses there, but it's sustaining the ones that you've already got. And then talking about partnerships with education, so all the way from K-12 through our four-year system, and then workforce demand. So that's always changing. So even though we're with aerospace, you know, we're finding that many of these industry sectors, IT, ag, aerospace, medical devices, they're all intersecting because the same technology skills that are needed in each one of those, we are developing at our own community technical colleges. So it's very important that we engage with industry because those emerging trends are always changing. So with that, we're going to do a little bit more deeper dive. Each of the centers are going to talk about with their partners the initiatives that they have been working on. So first, I'm going to have Barbara talk about her initiatives.
So I think this will work to work from here. So thank you for having us. I'm proud to be part of Mary Kay's entourage today. So how many are here from Washington State? We're pretty well represented because Mary Kay's been so active in ATEA. So I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what we as a Center of Excellence for Clean Energy have done over the last 12 years. So the centers, as Mary Kay mentioned, have been in existence for 12 years. So I always say to the other centers, you heard from this morning from industry. So Mary Kay is active, of course, with aerospace. We've got construction. We've got Microsoft in our backyard, Starbucks, Boeing, all of those. But none of them can operate without their energy. So that's where I sit. So that's just to tell you a little bit about how important I feel we all are together. Some of the special things that we've done for the Center of Excellence for Clean Energy is not just the labor market research, but the research into the skill sets and the occupations that employers like you just heard from were looking for. They just absolutely did a great job of saying the same thing over and over that we hear from our industry partners. And because I came from industry, 10 years in industry, working that side of it, it's just the same message over and over. And the issues, and I'm sure you as the bureaucrats have had that problem, that difficulty communicating, if you will, with your industry partners. You think they're saying one thing and you're saying the same thing, and how do you message that back and forth and get to what you need to accomplish? That's what the Centers of Excellence do. When Mary Kay said convene, problem solve, disseminate. So the problem solving is part of that communication back and forth. So we have done two workforce challenges studies in concert with Todd's office. We did one in 2008, and then you all know what happened in 2009, which basically made that work absolutely non-existent after the economic boom, if you will. Not really boom, but so what we did was revisit in 2013. So this is Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, and Utah. So with energy, we often work across our entire region, not just our state. But as we look, because you can't do energy without looking at your entire region. This particular one project was through a Department of Energy ARRA grant. That was a $5 million grant we received during the ARRA days. Now this is 2013, now we're looking at going into 2018, and we're talking about revisiting this next year, looking at what are those new skill sets, what are those new occupations. Again, that's what centers do. We're always looking at the horizon to see what's next and what are the next occupations that we need to look at. And we do that then as the deeper dive through skill standards. Have any of you ever worked DACOMs or skill standards? So a skill standard is a little deeper than a DACM, but a DACM works. We've done both, depending on what that occupation is going forward. Some of the things that we learned through the Department of Energy grant, things like how is smart grid going to impact the workforce for the electric utilities. And interesting, I just still amazed, and I remember that conversation in about 2011, simple customer service reps. When you call your utility and you get a customer service rep on the line, how do they know how to talk to you in this new day of energy efficiency and sustainability? You've got, how many of you know what kind of meter you have at your home or at your office? Do you have the old dial or do you have the digital? How many have digitals? I always have to ask that question. Do you know that? How many don't know? Okay, that's your assignment tonight. Tomorrow, when you go home. I love to give that assignment. I was on the phone with a consultant the other day. She didn't know what I was talking about. I said, when you get home tonight, go look at your meter so that you know what that meter is. And the reason that's important from a workforce component, that meant when those meters changed from the old dial to the digital, all those meter reading jobs went away. That's a lot of people. Can be up to 200 people in a larger size utility. How do we retrain them so we don't lose them? So that was what our ARRA grant was about. We retrained, retooled 200 meter readers across Washington State. So looking at some of the other things we've done with 18, we've completed 18 skill standards now. Generation, transmission, and distribution occupations. Those are all on our website at that link below. So the other thing we've done since when I took this job in 2005, there were 5 energy programs in the state of Washington. Those stars represent where they were located. We now have 20. So we have taken those 5 programs, looked at them with our industry advisory board, and what I call niched them up. My communication specialist asked me what that meant. She said, when I Googled niched up, your name came up. So I guess that's my term, but I think it works. So it's looking at where does the wind technician program need to be? Well, that needs to be in central Washington in the middle of the wind country. The power distribution program with energy industry support on the east side in Spokane is the largest in the Pacific Northwest. The solar, the sustainability, the energy efficiency jobs as they're coming around, housed in a cluster around Seattle in several colleges. So that's just sort of an example of where they are, what they are, and again, they're all on our website. We have, all of the centers have created a handout, hard copy book of all of their programs in the state, and they're all on our websites. And the other thing we've gone into now in Washington State is developing baccalaureates, so applied science. How many of you have those in your states where your community colleges now are delivering baccalaureates? It's a huge shift. It's a huge shift. There are now 2 in Washington, 1 at Cascadia College, and 1 at South Seattle Community College. But as we look at this, and so as this evolves, and when I think back now over 20 years in this industry, either on the industry side or the community college side, it is an evolution. When I think back, even when I took this job 12 years ago, there wasn't such a term as smart grid. Nobody knew what that was. I'm not sure we still know what it is, but we spent a lot of money and a lot of time trying to figure out. But what we do know, the scary part of that, it is also the issue is really a whole cybersecurity piece. So that's the new cutting thing that we're doing along with Whatcom Community College, which is based in Northern Washington, just across the border from Canada. So 72%, I'm just amazed at utilities saying they're worried about their smart grid, the grid being hacked because of the smart grid, because the meter readers are no longer, because the meters are now digital. So looking at that, Whatcom Community College received a $6 million NSF ATE grant to develop across the entire West Coast. They are now at, you can see those numbers down there, 22. They have 22 states with 148 members, and those are community colleges. Any of you here that are interested in getting into the cyber field can connect with Whatcom, and I can help you do that. They're basically, what they're looking at is consistent, collaborative colleges that are working together in cyber, not necessarily just within energy, but in their cybersecurity is across the board. They're doing an amazing job for Little Whatcom Community College. This is just my go-to slide that I just love because these are real people, real students in real jobs. These are just some of them across Washington State, from wind to nuclear to electrical engineers. And that's what I really love that I think we're getting better at in workforce programs when I look back over the last 12 years at finding the potential engineering students in workforce programs that never saw themselves in that role. That's Travis up there. He was a high school dropout. He is now an electrical engineer with Lewis County PUD. So those are the kinds of success stories I like to cite. Sarah is a single mom, struggling through trying to figure out how to support her family, and is now energy efficiency auditor for Tacoma Power. So just some of those. There are more and more and more. Each one of those has a story, and many, many more like them. So that, I don't think we're going to take questions now.
No,
I think we're
going to. We'll go on.
Okay, we're going to move on to Todd.
Yeah.
All right, it's yours.
Thank you, Barbara, and thank you, everyone. So I'm with Washington State University, and what I wanted to highlight is a couple things that are, I think, important to this conversation. The first is how we work with Barbara and Mary Kay and others in the community college system as partners. So to see that four-year school, two-year school, technical school connection, and how we work with that is part of our model for how Center of Excellence can be successful in connecting all the different pieces together. And the other thing I'll touch on real briefly may be of interest to at least some of you, because that's going to be the National Smart Manufacturing Institute, which I have a role in as well. So with that, that's wrong way. Okay, so the WSU Energy Program. I wanted to just touch on who we are. I don't have any students. I'm at Washington State University. I'm 300 miles from the main campus in an office building. I've got professional staff in the energy business of a wide variety of different types who are experts in their field for the most part and provide technical assistance, training, and other support activities, research and so forth, in the energy industry. So we're in a weird place in the university, not really academic, but bringing the knowledge from the academic side and other parts into practice more easily. So our connection with community colleges is a vehicle for doing that. We also do it fully grant contract and other funding like that supported, not with any state funds for general purpose operations. So we run like a consulting firm with about 40 people. Bunch of different key activity areas. I don't want to go through all these, and people have questions about it, and we can talk about them at lunch or whatever. But what I really wanted to focus on is this, I don't know if we have a pointer here, but you see over on the right side, workforce development is one of the key areas. And our workforce development efforts have really been, in large measure, connected up with our centers of excellence and supporting them in developing skill standards, doing the gaps analysis, and then playing other support roles as appropriate. So specifically, we sit on a couple of advisory boards with centers of excellence. I do. Some of the energy programs that Barbara mentioned. We have done the work to do some of the skills gap analysis with Barbara and others. And then we are, because we're so engaged in the industry, we can bring insights to the college and take insights from the college back to other parts of the industry that maybe Barbara doesn't have connections with or Mary Kay doesn't have connections with. So we're trying to play that connector role as well, because we're out there with industries as well. So just touching briefly on the Smart Manufacturing Institute. So Mary Kay mentioned it in the introduction, but it is one of several of these big national manufacturing institutes that are designed to under the umbrella of Manufacturing USA to help move manufacturing forward in this country. One of them is specifically on smart manufacturing. So Barbara talked about smart grid, which is really a connection or paralleling between your operational data and your information technology. So the idea is to connect your IT and your OT in a way that allows you to be more data-driven. It's true in smart grid, that's what that's really about in the end, and it's true inside of factories now as well. And I think those of you that work with manufacturers see that, hear that. You're seeing more automation, you're seeing better control systems, you're seeing more back-end office data collection and analysis and so forth. So what the Smart Manufacturing Institute is about is moving that forward, trying to accelerate the adoption of smart manufacturing technologies, strategies, and tools, and then to develop some tools and analysis frameworks that can also help move things forward. I right now am running the Northwest Center for this institute. And we've got four key focus areas, and you'll see one of them, the last one on the list there, is building and sustaining a skilled and innovative workforce with expertise in smart manufacturing technologies and practices. I think I'm preaching to the choir here probably when I say this, but the factory floor is changing. The way that we do things is changing. And if we don't have a mechanism for accelerating that change, we're not going to be successful as a nation in manufacturing. So the question is, what do we do together to make the workforce ready to help us accelerate that change? And that's what one of the focus areas for our institute for the next 4 years. So I encourage you to go to the website, to get involved, talk to me about CESME if you want to know more about it and you want to get connected. I think community colleges can join the institute for free, except for all the paperwork. It's a lot of paperwork. But you can join for free, and that's good because most everybody else has to pay. So anyway, thank you.
All right. Hello, and thank you for inviting me to participate on the panel, Mary Kay. So I am with the Construction Center of Excellence. This initiative is always kind of seems to be complicated for us to explain. People think we have students, we have programs, we're at one college, and so we're always trying to make sure that the messaging about what our real role is. I do a lot of work with the Canadians north of the border. They've got some really great best practices, so I like to copy, steal, and of course give credit when I do that. But they were kept interacting with different companies and organizations in Washington State, and my name kept coming up. So when I talked to them next, they said, you know, you're like the orchestra conductor. And I was like, wow, I love that analogy, because all the different sections in the orchestra really have their specialty areas, but you have to bring them all together to get this really great, fantastic musical production done. So I've always liked that analogy, because people tend to sometimes work in silos, so how we as centers of excellence can bring people to the table, do that translation between industry and education, and make sure that we're working together with a shared vision is really what we do in our day-to-day work. From the panel that was talking before, it reminded me of when my older son, whose extra appendage was a computer, was playing the Sim City games. I don't know if any of you ever remember those, but he was really into that. And he had this great little town built that had, factories and agriculture, and the people were literally running out of the town off the cliff. Like, they were, you could see them running away from his little town. And he's like, Mom, all my people are leaving. And I was like, where's the pub and the entertainment, and that, like, he had nothing fun to do in his town. And I thought, you know, that's a really great kind of workforce and economic development exercise to do, because as soon as you put the pub and the theater and all the other stuff in, which we know, you know, entertainment's not the problem in Reno for sure, is all his little people started staying. So it was really kind of a fun, you know, exercise of how do we build every single thing that a community is going to need to make their residents happy and successful. So that was interesting hearing that. So the Center of Excellence in the construction industry, we support residential, commercial, union, non-union. It's a big sandbox that not everybody gets along in. And so how we broker those conversations and support them. And one of the areas of focus that's come up in the last couple of years is with all the smart buildings, energy efficiency goals that our has for the state for net zero by 2020, news releases started coming out that these buildings were built to reach certain levels and they weren't reaching them. And they discovered that that once you hand the building over, you really need highly trained building engineers, and that occupation needs to have the skills to keep them running at the way they were intended to. So we started taking a look at this part of the industry. We had a stakeholder group, they did a labor market study, and they pretty much found this need assessment. It's similar to all the other parts of this industry. It's got an aging workforce, very, very much lack of diversity, I'd say worse than some of the other trades. A lack of systemic upskill training, lack of defined pathways for training, and weak recruitment. And on the breakout session for tomorrow, I guess now, I've got more information around this, but this is just kind of that first assessment, what we discovered. McDonnell Miller is a large company in Washington State, and they said 99% of the building engineers currently don't have the IT skills needed to manage these smart, energy-efficient buildings. So that's an opportunity. So we launched the Washington Building Engineer Consortium. We did that after scanning this area of the industry and identifying associations that covered different parts that supported the industry. You know, they've got one that's on building codes and lobbying and things like that, but they didn't really have anything specifically looking at how to meet their workforce challenges. So this consortium primarily just focuses on that challenge. So we've convened stakeholders. Actually, next week will be our second annual meeting. From that, we developed strategies that we thought were priorities for this consortium. So marketing and outreach, and then defining some training and education pathways. This part of the industry is mostly not apprenticeship and not union. There is the stationary engineers have a very small apprenticeship program. So there's some private training organizations, but if you found out about this career path and were interested, it's even harder to figure out how to get the training you need to be successful. And so from that consortium, there was an opportunity to apply for some grant funding for an upskill backfill grant that's WIOA money. And so that we just got the signed contract on. So that will be part of this next year's work plan with that consortium. So like I said, I'll go into more details about this tomorrow. This energy efficiency building engineer is really where we cross into the energy side of the HER Center of Excellence and stuff. So that's been a big focus in the last couple of years.
Great. Thank you, JP.
Good morning. No, sorry. I'm very happy to be with you this morning. So I am with Dassault System. Dassault System is the 3D experience company. We develop software. You may know the company by some of the products that we have, SolidWorks, CATIA, and a few others. We support customers in different industries, 12 industries. We have companies as customers, large and small, Boeing, Tesla, Ford. It's a very large number of companies, and we are very happy to work with them. You may wonder why we work today for workforce or around the workforce. The goal for us in this area is to make sure that we develop a pool of talent for our commercial customers. And we cannot do that without working with entities like the one that are represented here, the academic institutions, and make sure that we can develop the program in a way that the graduate have the set of skills that are looked for by the customers. So we talked this morning about lifelong learning and the importance of having skills that are always up to date. It is a reality, and we see that every day with our commercial customers. They are very demanding. They always ask academic institution specific skills for their specific companies. Of course, the academic institutions cannot do that. They are not meant to support one specific customer. They have to support an ecosystem and support a region. But what is very important to remember here is really that we cannot, or students cannot assume that they're going to get their degree, they're going to find a job, and they're going to keep on moving forward in that path. With the technology as it is today, pervasive and evolving constantly, it is important, even critical, for the students and even the current workforce to constantly update their skills, their knowledge, so that their skills remain relevant and valuable for companies. The companies rely heavily on the workforce. Without the workforce and a skilled workforce, these companies cannot innovate, they cannot support their programs, their projects, and they cannot compete in today's economy. So it is a necessity for these companies today to embrace these new technologies, because if they don't do it, other companies will do it, and they will just go out of business. We will have breakout sessions after, and I'll be glad to provide more details about what I'm talking about here, but probably most of you here have been hearing about the fourth generation of the revolution of the fourth generation that we call Industry 4.0. In this future factory, what that means is that for future production, the companies will have to master a large number of disciplines and their employees as well in different sectors. They will have to make sure that they understand. It's a nice thing to do 3D printing, but if you don't understand the materials that you print with, you're going to be in trouble. So there is a need to understand really the science of materials, a need to understand really all these advanced processes to manufacture products. There is a need as well to leverage the solutions like the one that we have to define what we call virtual twins of real physical product. These virtual twins allow the companies to analyze the product in all their different facets, from design to production to support and maintenance. And by doing that, they have a better understanding as to what the impact of this product will be on the environment and on the human. That's why for us, the Dassault System, what we want to do is harmonize product, life, and nature. We just don't want to design the product for what they are. We want to understand what the impact of this product will be for human and for the environment. So you really need to have a look at or consider the product throughout the entire life cycle. So it is important to take full advantage of the simulation, optimize these products, take advantage of the advanced manufacturing processes. We hear a lot about robotics, but robotics has been evolving, and it's going to keep on evolving, especially with artificial intelligence. Robots will become smarter, and they will not only learn, they will work with humans. You probably hear about cobotics, collaborative robotics. It's important to master all these different disciplines and constantly to update the skills. The products as well will be designed in different ways. It's no longer an OEM working with suppliers. The suppliers develop knowledge, and these suppliers become more and more what some of the companies that we work with in Washington State call risk-sharing partners. So they have knowledge, and this knowledge is their IP, and they will become a very critical a very critical partner to develop the product. So when we have a look at the workforce and what the students learn today in the academic institutions, it's always the same thing that come back. It's the disconnect between what they learn and what the companies need. The reality is that no matter what they will learn, it will never be enough because the technology is rapidly evolving and what the students need to do, they need to be able to adapt. If they know how to learn, then they will adapt to the new economy. So what we are doing with the academic institutions, we are developing framework, and that's one of the key activity for the team that I have, to develop partnership with the key companies, commercial customers that we have, to understand what type of collaborative projects they want to have, to develop certain skills that we call soft skills, like critical thinking and others, that are very valuable for this future employee to adapt and to capture new skills. In the previous panel, a person was saying it's important for employees to learn new things. It's essential. And it's something that we need to focus on. There was a survey by the Boston Consulting Group. That's the picture that you have on the right-hand side. And you can see all the different technologies that will come in the Industry 4.0. You probably heard about all these different buzzwords, but the reality is that all these different technologies will work together at some point. So what we are doing today, we are working specifically with strategic academic institutions. To develop ways to showcase how the future workforce should be prepared. One of these strategic partners that we have is Wichita State University in Wichita, Kansas. They develop with us the Innovation Campus. That Innovation Campus leverages Wichita State University, the National Institute of Aviation Research, which is the only institute in North America that can, actually in the US, that can sign off the parts to fly. It's a big advantage for the university. And we are working with them in a way that we can reduce the time that is needed for young graduates to capture the skills to become fully productive in a professional environment. Through the survey that we had with different commercial companies, it takes about 18, 24 months, for instance, for the bachelor program. And I understand that all of us here are talking about college education, but there is now a fine line between college education and the engineering in bachelor programs. Just because we don't have enough bachelor degrees, more and more companies are having a look at college degrees and making sure that these college graduates can learn in their environment to develop new skills and somehow to get similar qualifications. But the point here is that these students need to become productive more rapidly, and they are shifting some of the activities that they would traditionally have with companies in the programs that they have at the university. So there is a real merge between the activities that these companies are supporting on a real case project and the university. Thank you.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you. So we've come to our question and answer portion. Do we have any questions for our panelists here? So I'm going to start this off. Barbara and Shayna, both of you work, represent industries that are normally male, dominant. How do you engage young people? We want a diverse workforce. So how do you engage females to come into construction and the energy programs?
So I do it in multiple ways. One of the ways is that we've created an ambassador program. Because the the people that are doing the outreach tend to be more of older, distinguished white men. If you're going into a high school trying to recruit younger people or trying to recruit women, they don't see themselves in that recruiter. So trying to develop young apprentices and female apprentices into the ambassadors for their trade, this gives them a leadership opportunity. They can start being a real steward for their craft. And the younger people will relate to them better. And so, especially since this is kind of mercenary on my point because I'm only one person, so trying to serve the state and reach all these high schools was difficult. So I was trying to build an army of others that could help me do that work. But the same goes for veterans. If you're at a veterans event, it should be a veteran, you know, apprentice that has is there trying to recruit so that they can really relate to that. That's one way. Another way is that we've started a I Am construction campaign because it shows women in lots of different roles, lots of different trades, and it all just has a picture of them. People can download the posters off our website. They can put it up at career centers. They can put it up in pre-apprenticeship programs, showing the more visuals we have of women in the trades. And so we're constantly recruiting for more stories and doing that. Last year, we started an Empower Conference, and that is a leadership conference for women in the trades. And it was really well attended. We had pioneers and trailblazers give their little stories. One of the things that I've always struggled with is if you're in a job conflict and somebody says something to you that you don't appreciate, I always think of the best answer like 2 days later. It's like, oh, I wish I would have said that right then, you know? And so these were women giving their experiences and their suggestions on how to handle conflicts coming from men and women. Sometimes most of the harassment came from other women on the job site. And so how do you handle that? I was giving a presentation to a bunch of high school counselors, and the man counselor said, I would never tell a girl to go into construction with all the harassment. And I said, are you under the impression that there's no harassment in any other career? What you need to do is give students, boys and girls, the tools to deal with conflict in the job site and at home. I mean, these are great communication skills and things we all need to have. So those are some of the ways we're doing it. One of the things, sidebar, that I want to mention, when you talked about tools for employers and employer engagement, I'm part of an apprenticeship expansion grant, and in doing that work, we've recognized that when you go out to an employer who's never done apprenticeship and isn't sure if it's the right thing, it's an extremely delicate discussion and dance that you're doing, and it takes several steps before, like, we have a state registered apprenticeship and Labor and Industries oversees that. So who needs to be involved at the table before you hand them off to Labor and Industries, and what should that conversation look like? So we're developing a playbook. I'm a football fan, so I'm picturing little circles with arrows, and, you know, if the employer says this, do this or don't do this, because all of the organizations that support employer engagement, whether it's economic development, workforce development, colleges, it's all can be very, delicate conversation if you don't really know what apprenticeship is or what the employer's needs are. So that is a tool that's coming out of that grant that will be available. And I think it can help in multiple ways, not just for apprenticeship expansion. So.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Please help me thank our panelists. Sorry.